8:15 having arrived, we'll call the Education Finance Committee to order. And on today's order of business, we have two fairly similar all-day, every-day kindergarten bills, and then one local bill involving the school districts of Morris and Cyrus, and that will be third on the agenda. So with that, when we get a quorum, we will approve two sets of minutes. And so today we're going to start with House File 105, that is Representative Ward. And Representative Ward, welcome to the committee. And before we go any further, I would like to direct everyone's attention to the House Research Bill Summary. The House Research Bill Summary, right towards the bottom of the page, there's one correction that needs to be made, and that's under section number 2. On the last line where it said it's kindergarten programs from 0.612 to 1.0, that should be to 1.115. Is that correct? So that, instead of 1.0, it should be 1.115 would be the pupil count there. Very last sentence on that page. And it's also on the other House file one, just for your... So, Representative Ward, thank you so much for being here. And do we have someone that would be willing to move Representative Ward's bill? Representative Bernardi?
Mr. Chair, I move House File, and I don't have the number right in front.
105.
105 to be considered for possible laid over and possible inclusion in the Education Omnibus Bill.
Very good. Very good. Representative Ward? Would you, and you have no amendments, so
thank
please
you,
proceed and welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I appreciate your taking the time to hear this important bill. This legislation would fund optional all-day K throughout the state, and we all know how important the early education is, and good quality at kindergarten preparation is essential to the rest of the academic career. And I have several testifiers here. Senator Greg Clausen is also going to introduce this bill, as he did in the Senate.
Very good. Superintendent Clausen, please introduce yourself. And Senator Clausen, excuse me. Please proceed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. For the record, my name is Greg Clausen. I'm a member of the Minnesota Senate, representing District 57, the communities of Apple Valley, Rosemont, Coates, and Northeast Lakeville. And again, thank you for the opportunity and invitation.
Welcome.
I am the author of All Day Kindergarten at the Senate level. And what I'd like to do is to walk through a presentation that I made a few weeks ago to the Senate Policy Committee, and I think you have a copy of it there, and we'd just like to get started. Started out on the front page there, maybe you recall the book by Robert Fulghum, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. You may recall that most of what I really need to know about how to live and what to do and how to be I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in the pile of sand at school. And you might recall some of the things in his book he talked about. The lessons to be learned were to share everything, play fair, clean up your own mess, wash your own hands before you eat, warm cookies and cold milk are good for you, and to flush, among other things. Now, we all know that 1988, the world is much different. We didn't talk about an achievement gap. We didn't talk about the many social issues that we are confronting today in our schools. We didn't talk about college readiness. And so I think the importance of all-day kindergarten is even more pertinent today than it was in 1988, when All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten was written. If you turn to the next page, you'll see an agenda there. There are six items I hope to cover this morning. Looking at enrollment data, the current status of kindergarten in Minnesota. Looking at the components of Senate File 2, which I think are very similar to the bill that's being presented in the House. Trying to answer the question, why all-day kindergarten? An overview of Minnesota all-day kindergarten studies, and then we had testimony as well, and you will hear today as well. So let's take a look at kindergarten enrollment. Approximately 74% of the children are enrolled in all-day kindergarten programs in the United States today. If you look at Minnesota, we have about 57% are enrolled in all-day kindergarten, and then we have another 17% that are enrolled on a fee-based program. And that fee-based program is paid by the parents so that the child can stay in an all-day kindergarten program. In Minnesota, school districts may institute a fee-based all-day kindergarten program. Many times that fee is on a sliding scale, and just a review of various districts around the state, that fee can range anywhere from $300 to over $400 a month. In the district that I represent, School District 196, Rosemont Apple Valley Eagan Public Schools, because of that fee, we had 50 families this past year that withdrew because as the fall came about, they could not afford to have their children in the program. So I think what's happening here in Minnesota is that we've really created winners and losers. There are districts that have lottery systems to get into all-day kindergarten. We have fees for all-day kindergarten, and we've created a situation. We've got losers and winners. And Minnesota is one of about a dozen states without some form of extra funding for all-day kindergarten programs. If you look at the statutory provisions that are currently in place, Minnesota school districts are not required to fund all-day kindergarten for students, but Minnesota school districts are required to offer half-day kindergarten programs. Students must be 5 years old by September 1 to attend kindergarten, although many school districts have provisions to have children start kindergarten earlier if they meet certain standards of readiness. And the minimum number of instructional hours for half-day kindergarten is 425 hours per school year. If you look at funding, half-day kindergarten students are currently counted as a 0.612 pupil units in the Minnesota funding formula. And if you look at assessment, basically a child may not enter kindergarten unless the parent has provided proof that they've undergone the developmental screening, usually called kindergarten roundup, that occurs in the spring prior to the kindergarten year. Some of the components of the Senate file, and again, I believe that they're very similar to the House, funding would be provided for school districts to offer all-day kindergarten. It would be voluntary for districts and parents. We're looking at the pupil units. Again, right now we're at 0.612 pupil units for half-day kindergarten. That's about $3,100. This would be moved up to 1.115 pupil units for all-day programs. That's a little over $5,800. And that 1.115 pupil unit is the same as students in grades 1 through 3. There would be 850 hours per school year of instruction, and we would be implementing in fiscal year 2014-15 school year. The annual cost of Senate File 2 in this case is $170 million. Governor Dayton, as you know, has proposed a $40 million new funding for all-day kindergarten. And again, funding would be available to school districts that choose to offer the program free to students. Trying to answer the question, all-day kindergarten. Why all-day kindergarten? Well, it's a significant education investment for our state. And it's also a commitment to quality education for all children. And I think that's very important. No more lotteries, no more waiting lists. It would be available for all students. If you look at some of the studies, you'll see that children attending all-day kindergarten learn more in reading and math over the kindergarten year in those in half-day programs, and that's extremely important because those are gains in the basic skills of reading and math. Children are 30% more spend more time in reading. Literacy instruction, 46% more time on math than in half-day programs. And again, we know that reading is extremely critical to school success. That last bullet point that you're looking at, those are executive function skills. There's been a lot of work done by Dr. Ann Maston at the University of Minnesota and the Minneapolis Public Schools. And these are skills that students start learning at an early age just to really function, things like managing time and attention, the ability to switch focus from one topic to another, planning and organizing themselves, curbing inappropriate speech behavior or other types of behaviors, and integrating past experiences with present actions. And the earlier that we can start presenting those executive skills, the earlier those students learn those, and that would certainly help for their learning. From an economic perspective, I think many of you perhaps attended that One Minnesota conference, second day of the session at the University of Minnesota Humphrey Institute, and we learned that the 13 counties surrounding the Minneapolis-Twin City area, including two in Wisconsin, is the 44th largest economy in the world. And the number one regional asset is our talented workforce, and all-day kindergarten is an investment in that workforce. Cost-benefit analysis estimates range from $4 to $12.90 for every $1 invested in all-day kindergarten. Cost savings due to reduced reliance on public services are as high as over $195,000 per participant. And there are also studies on greater earnings from students that enter all-day kindergarten versus those that do not, and there's fewer criminal justice contacts. Looking at a sampling of Minnesota studies, I'll let you look at those, but there's been a lot of studies done in the state of Minnesota. Burnsville did an extensive study a few years ago in conjunction with the University of Minnesota. Stillwater, as you can see, credits our all-day program with increasing in third-grade test scores. Winona found similar results in learning disabled students. Minneapolis found significant improvement narrowing the achievement gap when implementing all-day kindergarten. And again, Mankato's Kennedy Elementary found increases as well in learning by implementing all-day kindergarten. So in conclusion, I would just like to emphasize once again that all children benefit from high-quality full-day kindergarten programs. And again, all children. We need to eliminate the waiting lists. We need to eliminate the fees that are charged. We need to eliminate the lottery systems that currently are taking place in Minnesota for all-day kindergarten. And when you look at all-day kindergarten, it's really an investment in our state. It's an investment in our children. It's an investment in our families. And it is truly an investment in our business community, which ultimately will determine the quality of life for our citizens. And Mr. Chair and committee, I'd be open to any questions you might have. Thank you.
Very good. Representative Ward, do you have other witnesses?
Yes, thank you. This is Joanne Ward. Mr. Chair and committee, there are two other. Do you want to do them now, or do you want to do all of the testifiers together?
I think what we would like to do for the public testimony is at the end of both of our bills, because they may be speaking to the same thing.
So I see. Okay, thank you.
But we do have at least one question.
Mr. Chair, I do need to get back to the Senate for another bill.
Very good. Very good. So, Representative Myra.
Mr. Chair and Senator Clausen, this issue is really dear to my heart, and I've been working on it for the last 18 months. I also live in Burnsville, and so I did review that study that was identified at your top one there. I have a couple of questions for you, if you don't mind. One is, you said that there are some studies. I would really like to know specifically what those studies are. Are they just the ones that you identified here of the experiences of certain school districts, or are they actual research that have been blind reviewed?
Mm-hmm. Senator Clausen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Myra. The PowerPoint there, you'll see a number of sources that are also identified. And for the Senate, I put together a packet of about 15 studies that I shared, hard copies. And I certainly can do that for you if you'd like.
Mr. Chair, Senator Clausen, I would very much appreciate being able to have that backup information. Most of the information that I have been given, and I've asked this question of many, in doing the review, not just looking at the executive summary, but looking at the detailed information below, what I have been seeing is actually that first grade, second grade, third grade, when we compare the test groups and the control groups, there is no difference when we get out a couple of years between children who have full day and those who have half day. And so I would very much appreciate any information that you have. I would like to look at that. Also, you said that all children would benefit from full-day kindergarten. I would like you to address the issue of certain studies I have read have identified that certain children end up with certain issues of shyness and others acting out. Can you comment on that, please?
Okay. Senator Clausen.
Mr. Chair, Representative Myra, I am not aware totally of the references that you make for those studies. I've not read those, so it would be difficult for me to comment on that.
All right.
Representative
Myra. Mr. Chair and Senator Clausen, I have been talking to some school districts, and they are actually concerned that we are putting public expectation that they will be able to provide all-day, everyday kindergarten for all children, and they are just not physically ready for that because there is a different type of schoolroom that is needed for little children compared to, you know, a fifth grader or a sixth grader who's, you know, pretty much full grown. So can you address that issue as well as how would school districts and their facilities be ready for doubling the amount of classes because you're going from half day to full day?
Yes. Senator Clausen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Myra. I've talked to several people, superintendents, and their opinion is we're going to make this happen. It's important for them, and they're going to make sure it happens, whether it means busing students maybe past the elementary school that they would normally go to another one a few miles away has been one solution. The other option is that school districts do have the ability to levy for leases and without going to the public, and that would be another option that school districts could use if they have difficulty with physical structures of providing kindergarten classrooms. But most of the, again, I have not polled all superintendents in the state, but I have talked to at least a dozen, and their opinion is we're going to make this happen.
Thank you.
Yep. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to build on this last point, when I was in kindergarten, they were building a new school, and temporarily we had arrangements in town to utilize near facilities, and so we shared with the churches. They let us use the children's rooms, and we had some kindergarten classes in the churches, and I'm sure communities would be able to find ways. However, I do know that there are a lot of districts that don't have a school they can bus to in their district. They've got one elementary school, and they may not have additional rooms. And I think that any way that we go forward, if we do, we need to take into account that not all schools are in the metro and have some of the flexibilities that Metro has, but they may have alternative flexibilities. But I have some questions as to some of the numbers in here. I'm seeing that, and I'm referring to House File 630 as my understanding of the intent of the administration and the agency, and they're doing a rebalancing. And so I do appreciate that 211, 212 in there that you are maintaining the same pupil count for half day, those that would be in half day, but you're going to the old 1.115 pupil count for what would be a first grader, and that where House File 360 on page 7, line 0.3 to 7.10, it goes over where kindergarten would there change from the 0.612 to 0.7 for full, and then go down to 0.55 for half, but the first grade through sixth grade would change from 1.115 to 1.0. So is there a reason why you are using the what I consider the previous benchmark for counting of a first grader for your full-day kindergarten? I mean, if you're going to do this transition, did you look at compatibility with aspects of what I consider the major bill that you'd be laid over to be a part of?
Well, Senator Claus, well, first of all, Representative Quam, I mean, this bill is off of current law. It's not related, of course, to the governor's proposal. But anyway, Senator Claussen, I mean, I think why the 1.115, maybe?
Mr. Chair and Representative Quam, in our Senate bill, we put 1.115 because that's a current pupil unit that's used in grades 1 through 3. And so we wanted to include that as part of the grades 1 through 3.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Senator Claussen, you're saying that you didn't have discussions with the agency and the department in order to see how this bill would be compatible with their plans for, you know, the change in the future of the schools?
Representative Quam, just for this was House File 105, so this bill was introduced much before House File 630, of course. So, I mean, everything on this bill is based off of current law, which is all you can do. I mean, you can't gauge a bill off of potential bill, so that would change law.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, for clearing that up. I normally try to, if I'm looking at future, you know, with my bills, talk to the administration and the agency in order to be compatible with what they have in works. So thank you for enlightening
Well,
and that.
Representative Ward, Senator Claussen, have you talked with the governor's office on this bill?
We have, and I'm sorry,
Senator
Mr. Chair,
Senator
yes.
Claussen.
We have, and we have his support for All Day Kindergarten.
Okay. Any other questions? Senator Claussen, thank you so much.
Mr. Chair, committee, thank you.
Representative Ward, any other comments? And then I think we'll move to...
I do have two testifiers, additional testifiers. They'll
I'm sorry. Okay,
yes, thank
please
you.
Proceed.
I would like to invite Pat Driscoll, who is principal of Two Harbors, Minnesota, drove 180 miles from here to get here to testify to you this morning, and Ann Obernolte, a 26-year kindergarten teacher from Mankato, 88 miles from here, to come in to tell you how important they know that this issue is.
Good morning. Would you introduce yourselves? And is this going to be testimony probably also for our next bill?
Yes.
House File 821?
Yes.
Very good. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. It's my honor to be here and testify before you and share my story and my information about All Day Everyday Kindergarten. My name is Patricia Driscoll, and I'm principal at Minnehaha Elementary School in Two Harbors, Minnesota. That's the Lake Superior School District up on the shore. There are 400 students in my building, and 35% of our students are on free and reduced price lunch. We also have preschool, early childhood, special education, and Head Start in my building. 6 years ago, the district wanted to implement all-day, everyday kindergarten, and we started by surveying our parents of our incoming kindergarten students. We asked them, first of all, would they be interested in all-day, everyday kindergarten? And there was only one parent who was not in favor of all-day, everyday kindergarten. We also asked them if they'd be willing to pay $2,000 tuition or if they were able to pay $2,000 tuition. Their responses were 50% were not able or willing to pay $2,000 tuition for all-day, everyday kindergarten. The district board decided to go ahead with all-day, everyday kindergarten and invest the money and make this happen because the staff felt this was very important for our children to boost scores in reading and math and to help them in the future, and it's an investment in our children. That was 6 years ago. These kindergartners, who were our first cohort as all-day, everyday kindergartners, last year were fifth graders and took the MCAs. And I'd like to refer you to this, this chart that reads School Reading Proficiency Trend by Grade. This is our scores for the fifth grade on the MCAs for the past 5 years. And you can see that the trend has always been around 80%. 80, 77, 80, 80. This one that went way up, that's 10% increase. That was our very first all-day, every-day kindergarten class. Now that's 3% on this test is an increase that is significant, and this is 9.6. So that's triple significant. That, I think that is telling. It's not a trend yet because it's 1 year of data, but I think we've got the answer, and I think it's all-day, every-day kindergarten. I believe that strongly. Another reason why I believe that is that there's research out there that says if you measure a child's vocabulary at 4 years old, you can predict where they'll be in their reading skills in fourth and eighth grade. Now, fourth and eighth graders, where that comprehension comes in, up to then, it's all, you know, sounding out words, and they all follow the patterns, and we can all teach that, and that's why you're seeing no difference in those scores until you get to fourth grade, where they need that vocabulary background to understand what they're reading. And so now I'd like to refer you to the second chart, which shows the difference between a student coming in with a good vocabulary and the difference of a student coming in with parents don't read to them, they don't discuss with them issues, they don't ask them questions. The first one is the blue line indicates a student who is read to every night 20 minutes. Parents take them on field trips, they talk about the field trips, they have true interaction conversations. This child has 6,000 vocabulary words at age 4, and this child has 2,000 or 2,500. And we call this one vocabulary rich, this one vocabulary poor. And as they go through the grades, this gap gets wider and wider, and by fifth grade, they're 5 years apart in their reading proficiency, and that's because, again, the comprehension. We've always seen a drop in comprehension at the fifth grade level. And in my district, a drop is, you know, 80%, where my other classes, the third grade and the fourth grade, are always at 90, 93. But when you get to fifth grade, it drops down to 80. But this year is the first year that we've had that significant increase. And the only difference is all-day, everyday kindergarten. The other thing that I wanted to point out to you was that our district also is on a four-day week, and so those kindergartners were also on a four-day week, and they made that big of an increase with a four-day week and with all-day, everyday kindergarten. So it's also something that you need to know. We also know from brain research the time to teach language is when the children are young. The optimal time to close the vocabulary gap is kindergarten, or even better, preschool. It's long been said that in K-3, you learn to read, and then from 4 on, you read to learn. This is still true today. I thank you for the opportunity to testify today. Do you have any questions for me?
Thank you, Ms. Driscoll. Representative Van Zelk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And do you know, by chance, what your percentage of free and reduced lunch counts are in your district?
35%.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And next testifier, you would introduce yourself?
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Ann Obernalty. I am a kindergarten teacher at the Mankato Area Public Schools. I have been a kindergarten teacher for 26 years. Currently, I serve as the kindergarten grade level leader for our 35 full-time kindergarten teachers. 19 of my years were teaching in the two half-day type sessions of kindergarten, where we had a morning session and an afternoon session. The last 7 years have been in our all-day, everyday kindergarten program. Our district, school district recognizes the importance of all-day, everyday kindergarten. Even in the last financially stressed years, we have maintained our all-day, everyday kindergarten. Mankato implemented all-day kindergarten in the school year 2006-2007. Our data shows improvement in literacy benchmarks as a result of all-day kindergarten programming. In 2005 and 2006, with a half-day program, we had 44% of our kindergartners at benchmark when they entered kindergarten, and they left kindergarten at 73% benchmark. When we implemented all-day, everyday kindergarten in year 2006-2007, that was our first year, 49% of our kindergartners entered at benchmark, and 86% of our kindergartners were at benchmark when they left after that first full year of all-day, everyday kindergarten. In the year 2007 and 2008, we had 55% children coming in at benchmark but leaving at 88% benchmark after our second year of all-day, everyday kindergarten. This success has continued, and since the beginning of all-day kindergarten, we have never had less than 83% of our kindergartners leave kindergarten at the literacy benchmark. Now, our all-day kindergarten program also, the gains continue in subsequent years. Our percentage of students proficient on grade 3 MCAs has continued to climb. Last year, we had 89.7% of our students proficient on the MCA test. We have experienced an upward trajectory on third grade reading MCAs. All-day kindergarten reduces the achievement gaps for disadvantaged children. Our program includes every child, not just families that can afford additional fees or tuition. All children in the Mankato Area Public Schools have an all-day kindergarten program experience, and they have for the last 7 years. Our all-day kindergarten program focuses on growth for all learners. Because we have a full day to work with our children, we can provide reading and math interventions for our struggling readers. We also have embedded time into our day to differentiate learning for our high achievers, our average learners, and our struggling learners to ensure growth for all. Our all-day kindergarten program helps us address our state standards. Recently, we aligned our curriculum to the new reading, language, art standards for the state of Minnesota. It'd be very difficult to meet those standards without the additional time we receive from a full-day kindergarten program. If we want our children to rise to the rigor of those standards, you must give Minnesota kindergarten teachers the time to teach the concepts and skills and the time for our students to learn them. We must have learning time for all of our students so we can enhance the performance of our high achievers, move our average beyond average, and take the time to teach and reteach our struggling learners. I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for the opportunity for me to address you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Abernolte. We have some questions. Representative Wills, I know you have a question for one of the testifiers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to ask the question of Senator Claussen and didn't quite get it in on time.
Sorry.
So hopefully I can still get the question answered. I had some questions about the language of the bill itself, actually. On the last page,
okay,
on page
first,
four.
Do you have a question for the testifiers? We'll do that first, and then we can come back to the bill. Do you have? And I'll come back to you. But
I just wanted to make sure that I got it in. So, but But if it would be better to wait till after the testifiers, that's fine.
Okay. Any questions for the Representative Breinert? Question. I'm sorry. There you are.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I would be remiss of not acknowledging Ms. Abernolte. I've known her for a number of years. She's an extraordinary kindergarten teacher, and I was on the school board when our district made the decision to pilot all-day kindergarten using compensatory dollars, and the results of that effort were so extraordinary that we reallocated resources in order to do all-day kindergarten throughout the district, and our data regarding readiness had really changed dramatically with all-day kindergarten. So I think it's a case that maybe Representative Myra might want to look at the Mankato data over time just to see what about its sustainability. But thank you for being here today, Ann.
Representative Ann Sell, question for testifier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have the same question regarding the free and reduced lunch percentage.
Ms. Abernolte?
At Mankato.
I really can't speak to that. It's not my day-to-day duties.
That's fine.
That's fine. Representative Angzell, Representative Strom says it's 37%.
Okay.
Mr. Strom, what did I say?
Thank you, Representative Strom.
I'm sorry to demote you like that, Mr. Strom. So, all right. Any Representative Ward, any further testifiers?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, this concludes our testimony.
Very good. Representative Wills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize for the out-of-order question.
No, that wasn't
It caught my attention on the last page, on page 4, in section 4, on lines 414 in subdivision 5 and 417 of that same subdivision, where it's talking about additional revenue use, that if the school district has additional revenue after meeting its obligations, the language provide all day, every day kindergarten is stricken. And I'm wondering if that means, or how that would affect the school districts if they can't use their own extra revenue for all day, every day kindergarten and would have to take the dedicated all day kindergarten funding if this were in place.
Representative Wills, I think Mr. Strom has that answer. Mr. Strom? Representative Ward? Okay, Mr. Strom.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wills, the section in subdivision, or in section 4, subdivision 5, is a part of the learning and development revenue or class size reduction revenue. And those goofy pupil weights, we have the extra 0.115 of K-3 weighting. What that's actually for is to reduce class size, and there's a system that's set up about how to reduce class size, which grades to start in, and once you reach the ratio of 17:1, then you go to the next class size. So it's on a reserved revenue where there's money essentially that's used to reduce class sizes in grades 1 to 3, and then when you get to this subdivision 5, it says if you still got money left after your class sizes have been reduced in grades 1 to 3, you can use it for grades 4 to 6, and then it said, and if you reach your 17:1 class sizes, then you could use it for all day, every day kindergarten. But the reason that this language is stricken here is now the districts essentially would be going to all day, every day kindergarten, so it wouldn't be a necessary use for class size reduction revenue.
Representative Wills.
I guess I'm just not clear on what if they don't want to take the funding that's specifically set aside for all day kindergarten and they just want to use their excess revenue for it. Would they not be able to do that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wills, they'd be able to use any of their other revenue other than their class size reduction revenue. So they could use any of their general fund revenue, but the specific amount that's by the extra pupil weighting that's reserved for class size reduction, they would no longer be able to use that for all-day kindergarten. But they could use any of their other general fund money for all-day kindergarten.
Is there a specific purpose for that?
Representative Wills? Mr. Strom?
Mr. Chair, this may be getting more to the author's intent about what the purpose is. I know sometimes when these programs are changed, when things like full-day kindergarten is added, other statutes are adjusted that make mention of that, and I suspect there would be not much concern one way or the other if this section were a part of the bill.
Thank you.
Representative McDonald.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Robert Flugham really wrote a great book, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, but for the record, all I really need to know, I learned from my mom and dad at home. So it was certainly a blessing indeed, but a great book. A question for the author, Representative Ward. What percentage of those who are going to half-day kindergarten today have attended Head Start?
Representative Ward.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I don't have that kind of figure, and it appears that the researcher doesn't either. No. I would like to address, though, the opportunity. This is an optional situation for parents as well as school districts, and I'm not sure that anybody made that clear. There are parents who are providing a very rich environment for their children, and all-day kindergarten wouldn't necessarily be the optimal place for them to be spending that time. So the parents can opt out as well. That helps.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I was aware of that. Thank you, Representative Ward. Well, can we have research just look at that? How many students that are going to half day that have gone to Head Start to get a head start in kindergarten?
Yeah. Isn't that we will Representative McDonald, that if we can get that yet, if that information is out there, we will try to gather that. So I don't. So yeah, Representative Sells.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think this question, maybe Mr. Strom, who has recently been promoted by the chair to Representative
Strom.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know if it's a promotion.
Anyway, my question is, first of all, I want to speak in support of early childhood education, and kindergarten is certainly an important part of that, so thank you for bringing this forward, Representative Ward. I just have a question about lease levy authority. This is voluntary, I understand that, and there certainly are, you know, ways that school districts can make it work. I have heard from some school districts that space might be a challenge for them, so I'm just wondering, Senator Claussen said that school districts now do have that lease levy authority. I'm wondering if that authority, though, would extend to, you know, facilities for all-day K. Do we know that?
Mr. Strom?
Mr. Chair, Representative Seltzer, the current authority for lease levy for the main part of the formula is $1 per pupil. A school district can levy up to $150 per pupil for instructional space. And so that authority exists. About a third of that authority is currently being used. But a district essentially needs the instructional space to lease in order to do that. A number of districts are at the cap at the $150 per pupil. So part of it would be some districts might be at that cap and not have additional lease authority available to them. There may be another category of districts where $150 per pupil district-wide is not sufficient to provide the extra classroom space, but I'm not aware of how those numbers would turn out. We could provide you a list of the districts that are at the cap on their lease levy authority if you'd like.
Thank you. That would be great. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering when we might be able to get corrected fiscal notes, since this bill and the next bill have incorrect, they're showing a decrease to the 0.5, which apparently they did consult House File 630 in the administration and department in order to come up with their first, so they show that decrease, whereas both of these bills identically maintain the current level of funding for half day. And then I also would say that if it was a promotion, it would come with the appropriate pay cut.
Mr. Strom, you don't have to refer to the salary cut, but if you can answer the question on the fiscal note there.
Mr. Chair, I think perhaps, Representative Quam, are you looking at the very first line on page 2 of the fiscal note?
On page 2, where it's talking about weight of 0.5.
Yeah, that, Mr. Chair, Representative Quam, that just refers to the very first section of the bill, which is how we count children in non-public schools for purposes of non-public aid. And there right now we count the non-public kids that are going half-time as 0.5. So I think that's what the reference you're seeing there in Section 1 of the bill that only applies to how we distribute the non-public aid amongst the non-public schools.
So
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So for clarifications, the decrease in funding represents cuts that will be hit to non-public students, and that there will be, as the both bills indicate, no cut to any of the public students.
Mr. Strom.
Mr. Chair, Representative Quam, certainly on the second part of that, there would be no reduction because they're keeping the pupil weighting at 0.612. So a district that chose to continue with half-day kindergarten would continue to get 0.612, unlike under the governor's recommendation where that would drop to 0.55. So in this House file, the weight for half-day kindergarten stays exactly the same. I'm not sure about the first part, about the cut part. I must be misunderstanding.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Quam.
On the front of both of the fiscal notes, in year 14, you know, when it's in brackets, I normally assume that's a cut. And reading through both the bills and the fiscal note in some detail, the only thing that pointed to me was that the fiscal notes were made with, you know, a cut that was referring to the implication of House File 630 instead of what the actual bill. So I really don't understand why you'd have a cut in 1 year if you didn't have that interpretation.
Mr. Chair, this is a nice question to answer. This is another pernicious effect of our school shift. The cut in fiscal year 14 is all related to the increased levy in fiscal year 15, which generates aid savings. And so this isn't really a cut. It's aid savings to the state because of the forward shifting of the property tax. So what happens under Representative Ward's bill is there's an increase mainly in state aid, but there's also an increase in programs like the referendum levy because the pupil count moves into those categories as well. And because there's higher referendum levy, the shifted part of that means that there's more shift savings in the previous year. So the reduction that shows on the fiscal note in the fiscal year 14 column, the $7.9 million savings, is the result of the property tax recognition shift being applied to a higher total levy amount.
Mr. Chair?
We're going to move on here from this. I think this does recognize the need why we have to get these shifts paid. Representative Grunhagen.
I think Mr. Strom should run for state representative. Just don't move to my district.
All right. Representative Ward, any final closing comments here?
Just like to thank you, Mr. Chair and committee, for hearing the bill.
Thank you very much. We're not going to take public testimony until after we hear House File 821. So, Representative Bernardi.
Thank you.
And while Representative Bernardi is making her way to the podium there, we have two sets of minutes to approve, February 26th and February 27th. Representative Grunhagen, would you like to approve those minutes?
So moved.
All right, Representative Grunhagen moves to approve the February 26, 2013 and February 27, 2013 minutes. Any discussion? If not, I'm going to call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Those minutes are approved. All right, Representative Bernardi, welcome. And please present your ball. Would you like to move layover House File 821?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would like to move House File 821 for laying over for possible inclusion in the education omnibus bill.
Very good. Begin.
Well, thank you. Members, I appreciate the opportunity to bring this bill before you. It's very similar to the first bill that you've heard today, and thank you, Representative Ward, for bringing that forward in the legislature. I will give you a little bit. I'll focus on how ours is different. But first, I just want to give a little bit of background of the community in which I grew up. I represent five school districts in the area that I represent. And what's interesting is they range from about 3,000 kids to 40,000 kids. So there's a real variety of school districts right in my own community. And the poverty rate, this free and reduced lunch, ranges from one city, from the bottom of that city in that school district, from in the 70% free and reduced lunch into the top of that city in that school district, it's in the 30s. So there's a huge variety of needs right in someone's own representative district that they represent. And I do want to say that I'll introduce my testifier shortly, but our community has been a community in transition, and the poverty and the diversity in the community has grown immensely over the years. And I'm very proud that our school district has embraced those challenges and opportunities and have not rest on the laurels of the excellent education system it's been in the past. They're looking to the future to make sure every student has the opportunity to succeed and be independent in life. And so today when we look at these bills, I think it's important that we Chair Marquardt set out goals for us to support student performance and reduce achievement gaps, funding adequacy, and funding equity. And our bill today focuses on that. And the special difference in our bill is that it provides more local control and flexibility. It increases discretionary spending at the benefit of early education. Today I have two of our superintendents from the school districts in which I represent. The first presenter today will be Kathy Kelly, who is the superintendent of Columbia Heights Schools, and then Dr. Peggy Flathman, who is the superintendent of Fridley Schools. And they will share with you the investments that they have been making, and they'll highlight just two of the approaches to all-day K that's happening in two school districts. And as it's been already pointed out, about 50% of the school districts already do fund all-day K in some sort of way, whether it's a school, a community levy, or general fund cross-subsidy, or some school districts. The other 50%, the 30% of those, they I'm not using my percentages right here, but 50% have all-day K, 30% have a half-day mostly, and almost 20% have a fee-based all-day K. So there's a variety that's happening all over, and actually each of my school districts, the five school districts, handle it very differently. And this bill will just highlight how important it is to have flexibility in how we approach this so that we do have adequacy and equity and we close the achievement gap. So with that, Ms. Kelly, if you'd like to start our presentation.
Certainly.
Superintendent Kelly, welcome. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the House Education and Finance Committee. It is truly an honor and a privilege to be here today, not only to support students, but to really discuss an issue that is so near and dear to the students in our district, and that's all-day, everyday kindergarten. When you're looking at the young gentleman on the screen behind me, he is a graduate of our school system who came to us with zero to little vocabulary and graduated from our school system last year and is attending the University of Minnesota in an engineering program with multiple scholarships. For our students, in order for them to have that kind of quality experience, they need to bridge the language barrier. And in order to do that, they need more time on task, and that starts at the very beginning in all-day, everyday kindergarten. The Columbia Heights Public Schools, and what we'd like to give you as a snapshot of who we are, is a first-ring suburb of Minneapolis, and it takes in Columbia Heights, Fridley, Hilltop. We're only 2 square miles, and we're only 3,000 students, but there's a high degree of diversity and poverty and a wonderful amount of opportunity and challenges for our students to make it into the world of work. We have 6 schools, and we have a budget of about $40 million total. When you look at how things have changed, and Representative Bernardi mentioned that, in the year 2002, the Columbia Heights Public Schools were 70% white and 30% students of color. And when you look at them today, we have the complete reverse. We are now 70% students of color and 30% white students. When we look at the 2012 poverty index, some of you were asking questions about demographics. The Minnesota average for free and reduced lunch in 2012 was 37%. When you look at Columbia Heights, we are just the flip. We are 73% students with free and reduced lunch count. Our English language learners are very, very important to us. We're an immigrant community. And when you look at the Minnesota average of EL, it's 8%. When you look at Columbia Heights, it's 26% of our learners are learners with English language learners challenges. We have 38 different languages in the system, and those all start in kindergarten. And our special education demographics are rising. In the year 2003, we are at about 11%, and we are at 16% in 2011, and we project a higher as that goes. So many challenges for our learners. And I know that Senator Claussen presented you with research, but there is evidence, and it's overwhelming, that investments in early childhood and kindergarten yield enormous dividends to our individuals and to our society. In Columbia Heights, we have really made a conscious choice in the year 2000 to strive to close the readiness gap with increased investments in voluntary, all-day, everyday kindergarten, because it was not an enhancement. It was essential for our learners. When we do kindergarten comparisons, and I know you've already seen some, but when we looked at the Minneapolis Foundation 2010 research, in the United States, 37% of students were not in all-day K, and 63% were. In Minnesota, it was reversed. And in this figure that you see here, the 31% that are in all-day K, that's the free all-day voluntary K. It would be a little higher if you put in the ones for fee. Kindergarten is a child's front door to our K-12 educational system. And Columbia Heights data shows that students who attend our all-day, everyday kindergarten in our district outperform students who enroll from other districts in first grade, and we have a high mobility rate to substantiate that. More importantly, though, when you look at who our kindergartners are, our students in 2013, in the poverty, there's 70% of them are on free and reduced lunch, on free lunch, and 10% are on reduced lunch. That's 80% as they come through our doors. 47% are EL, 70% are students of color, and 10% are special education students. Their vocabulary, when they come in, when you look at vocabulary for the average number of words, and I know that we had previous people giving testimony about vocabulary, but if you want them to be literate and have rich literacy skills, they need the vocabulary. They need the time on task. And children from higher socioeconomic families come to us with that. Children from lower socioeconomic families, that's the average from Donald Graves, who's a professor at the University of Minnesota in 2009. But I would like to just underscore that many of our kindergartners come in very proficient in their own native languages, but not in English. And so they may come in with zero words. In the Columbia Heights School District, we were committed for all day, every day kindergarten from 2000 to the present. And for us, that had to be free because we could not have the barriers. That it was not an enhancement, it was essential. When we looked at our half-day program in 2000, we had about 2.5 hours of instruction per day, about 430 hours total. When we went to our full-day program, we went to 5.7, and that was about 980 hours of instruction per year. The students gained the equivalent of 86 days of instruction. For us, we started out as a pilot. We called it a kindergarten language development model because we needed to have our EL students in a sheltered situation so they could learn the vocabulary. But what we quickly learned is that if it was important for our EL learners, it was also important for our other students, and that for all of our students, because of the standards, of the expectations, and of the world that they are facing. When we had the half day, we offered it, and we had a strong literacy and a math component, and of course time for a little bit of play and a nap. But when we built it out, we added the full day schedule, and we offered both. By the end of the first semester, we had no parents that were electing the half day, and they were all in the full day. Now, it is still voluntary in our community if we, to do a half day program, but we have not had anyone really ask us significantly for that since the year 2000. If they did not have all-day kindergarten, our all-day kindergarten provides every student with breakfast and lunch. And I want to pause on that for our school district because that's very important. Many of our students need access to just basic nutrition, and so they receive breakfast and lunch with us, and they may or may not receive that otherwise. They also have time on task in our literacy blocks and in our math, but we expose them to the whole child, to that art and to the music and physical education and learning how to write, things that come naturally when and come from parents first, but of course are important for all students. And we also expose them to science and social studies, health, the technology skills for the future, and we support their social and economic needs. That is, if we did not have the program, is what our students would not have receive. However, it comes at a cost, and we really committed as a district through multiple times of budget reductions to hold on to our all-day K because it was so essential for our learners. What that means is that when we take our cost, we have $633,000 annually that is unfunded. That's about 39%. That's about $8 million over 13 years. And my mom used to always say, put your money where your mouth is. And I think that the Columbia Heights Public Schools has really done that because it's just that important for our students. And so we've also had to increase our classroom space. But I heard the discussion, and we did that over time because it was voluntary. We shifted classrooms around. We're a small district, so eventually we did have to add on what we call an early learning incubator of 5 additional classrooms and a pre-K room. But because Columbia Heights School District and the city of Columbia Heights particularly has the highest foreclosure rate in Anoka County, we did not want to put additional taxes on our stakeholders. So we have been paying as we go out of the general fund so we can make it through these tough economic times and yet support the students that we have.
Superintendent Kelly, I'm going to ask you to kind of finish up here. I know we have another testifier and another bill yet, so
I certainly will thank you for that. I guess what I would like to say in culminating, and I would go back to this little guy. Today's kindergartners equal tomorrow's workforce, and it's a privilege to talk to you about this today. I want to say we're thankful for all of the funding that you've given us in the past, and we would like you to consider recognizing the expenses of our district in providing all-day K for our children. Thank you very much.
Superintendent Kelly, thank you so much. Superintendent Flathman.
Yes, thank you. We'll queue up this. Mr. Chair and House members, thank you so much for being here today. My name is Peggy Flathman, and I'm the superintendent of the Fridley Public School. Like my colleague, Kathy Kelly, we're pretty passionate about our schools, in particular all-day K. Much of my presentation mirrors what she is talking about because our districts are very similar in nature. We are also in... We have slightly under 3,000 kids with 2,900 kids. We are completely embedded in the city of Fridley, and we are 4 square miles. Even though the city of Fridley serves other school districts, we are all within it. We have 2 elementary buildings, a middle school, and a high school, and our niche is that we are an International Baccalaureate World School District. All of our schools are fully authorized IB schools. We also have a community center that holds ALC and our early childhood, and early childhood special ed and child care. Our enrollment, as I said before, is nearly 3,000. We have 34% of our enrollment, though, is open enrolled, and 900 students. 300 of those students are coming to us through the Northwest Suburban Integration School District, and I know this committee has had some work on that as well. 15% of our students are special education, 15% are English language learners, and we have over 30 languages. And we have 56% free and reduced lunch at this point, and that's gone from about 48% in the last 6 years since I've been there. Here are the breakdowns in ethnicity, and you'll see that it's interesting that English language learners and special ed are almost identical. Our challenge, like the Columbia Heights, are high mobility with students, the increased number of students qualifying for free and reduced lunch, English language learners that comes to us, and then, of course, the state funding limited to 0.612 of ADMs for kindergarten, excuse me. We began offering kindergarten in 2006. Like Columbia Heights, our district sees it as a priority and has allocated funds from the general fund. This is not a for-fee basis at all. We also did it at the very beginning and said, you know, parents, you can choose whether or not you want to be there. Early on, we had one or two parents choose, and normally by about Thanksgiving, the kids have convinced their parents to come all day. So we have virtually all of our students on full day free kindergarten. As Ms. Kelly said, it is not an enhancement. It is essential. We focus on language development and literacy. I was with the committee that began to implement the all-day K. I worked with the teachers at that time, and we were very adamant that this was not going to be just an extension of what was going on in the all-day or the half-day K, but it really was going to be focused on literacy, balanced literacy, and language development as we worked with our grades 1 to 6 as well. For many of our students, and especially those free and reduced EL and special needs students, it is essential to be on track for third grade, which means that they need to be college ready at third grade. That benchmarks that we are using there with the ACT and NWEA, so that we know that these kids are going to be ready for success in the world. We also know that students who are participating in all-day kindergarten outperform those first graders who come to us later on from other districts that do not have all-day K. The world's best and smartest workforce. I know you've had that conversation in here before. Children benefit from a developmentally appropriate all-day kindergarten. The world's best workforce and smartest workforce that we're creating here in Minnesota for the students at Fridley, they also, in all-day K, received the International Baccalaureate programming with Spanish, music, physical education and health, art, and media skills. Our full-day kindergartners, this information is paraphrased from the NEA research that was done, that they are more prepared for school, they do better with the transition from first grade, they have higher achievement scores later in later grades, better attendance in kindergarten and then on through the primary grades. They show faster gains in literacy, enhanced social and emotional skills, reduce retention and remediation. And the number that I've heard for every dollar that we spend on early childhood and all-day K, we're going to save $3 in remediation later on. What matters most here is to create this fabulous workforce in preschool programming, collaborating in K-4 in offering coordinated developmental opportunities, language development, and balanced literacy. Our preschool folks are sitting at the table with our K-12 folks in terms of making sure that it's a one continual service for literacy. This fall, we will be expanding our IB program to also have 3 and 4-year-olds in the program. This will be a for-fee-based program, however, because at this point we do not have funding to be able to do that. Our essential is then to fully fund all-day K for all students and allow the school district opportunities to include preschool in the full day if full day is already included. This guy's been quoted a number of times this morning, and as I know, parents are your first teachers out there, but everything I needed to know, I'm going to change it a little bit. I learned in maybe all day K, so thank you very much for your time.
Our Superintendent Blathman, thank you so much. Thank you for that presentation. We're going to go to public testifiers before we take questions from members. So if any, is that all right? Can we
take? That would be perfect.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. So if anyone would like to testify for or against House File 821 or House File 105 also, please.
I'll have them come back if they're
very good. Thank you so much.
Members of the committee, Mr. Chair, Brad Lundell from Schools for Equity and Education. Just very, very briefly, all-day kindergarten is part of our platform for the 2013 legislative session in Schools for Equity and Education. We're very supportive of both these bills. I think the language that's contained that allows some flexibility for districts after they've met their commitment to the all-day kindergarten would to go down to earlier ages is very, very important. One of the things I worry about this year is kind of a fight between little kids and littler kids, and I think we have to make sure that we look at the spectrum of all kids and all needs. I think that all-day kindergarten really plays its part in that. There are space concerns. I think that there are easy, well, not easy, but there are certainly ways to get around that by, say, exempting space for all-day kindergarten from the lease levy cap. It's another unequalized levy. We talked a lot about equalization yesterday. There are some things there that we can work on. But I think that there are some straightforward solutions to get at the what I feel are minor impediments to creating an all-day kindergarten system in Minnesota, and we're certainly supportive of what Representative Bernardi and Representative Ward have come forward with today. Thank you,
Mr. Lundell. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chair, my name is Tom Pritchard, President of Minnesota Family Council, and I want to raise some concerns about expanding all-day kindergarten funding, and I know these concerns are also shared by the Education Liberty Watch organization. I think, first of all, the assumption is that all-day kindergarten is a successful approach, and the only issue is finding the necessary resources. I think, in fact, there's a good bit of research suggesting that there aren't really sustainable benefits to all-day kindergarten academically, and there may be, well, some negative outcomes. And I think these are important questions to consider when you're looking to spend millions of dollars on expanding all-day kindergarten. There's a number of interesting studies, national studies, looking at all-day kindergarten. There was one entitled Effects of All-Day Kindergarten on Academic Achievement and Social Development in the Review of Educational Research. And they found a meta-analysis found that attending all-day or full-day kindergarten had a positive association with academic achievement compared to half-day kindergarten, equal to about one quarter standard deviation at the end of the kindergarten year. But the association disappeared by the third grade, so it was gone. However, children may not have as positive an attitude towards school in full-day versus half-day kindergarten and may experience more behavioral problems. A study by the RAND Corporation entitled School Readiness, All-Day Kindergarten, and Student Achievement, an Empirical Investigation, found full-day attendance was negatively related to math achievement. In other words, after controlling for non-academic readiness at kindergarten, children who had attended full-day program at kindergarten showed poorer mathematic performance in fifth grade than did children who had attended a part-day kindergarten program. And then finally, a study that came out of was published by the U.S. Department of Education, the National Center for Educational Statistics, found in terms of kindergarten program type, there is little meaningful difference in the level of children's end-of-year reading and mathematics knowledge. This report did not detect any substantive differences in third-grade achievement relative to the type of kindergarten program, full-day or half-day, they attended. In addition, I think there are some problems, not just on the academic side, but also on the social-emotional side. There was a major study done by Stanford and University of California, Berkeley researchers of 14,000 kindergartens who were put in preschool programs. And they found, we find that attendance in preschool centers, even for short periods of time each week, hinders the rate at which young children develop social skills and display the motivation to engage classroom tasks as reported by their kindergarten teachers. We find that the decrement to social development is not limited to one domain, externalizing or aggressive behavior. Our analysis reveals that this drag on the typical pace of social development is moderate magnitude and extends across all three forms of social-emotional development. In fact, the co-author of that study said the biggest eye-opener is that the suppression of social-emotional development stemming from long hours in preschool is felt most strongly by children from better-off families. And finally, I just wanted to address, we're hearing a lot of comments about the benefits locally in Minnesota to all-day kindergarten programs, and one was mentioned by representative on a study that was done by the University of Minnesota in District 191 several years ago. And it was interesting, here is their summary of the results. They said first grade teachers reported higher achievement and better behavior in this group than in previous classes. Another outcome they found was by second grade, teachers continued to report a noticeable positive difference in the academic preparedness of this group. But it's very interesting, if you go and look at the actual graphs in that study, and these were based on reading test scores by the Gates-McGinnis-IT reading test, they found that in the first grade there was a bump up in the scores, but by the third grade it had gone totally flat. So for instance, all-day kindergarten, in the first grade they found a 55.93 point score, but it had dropped slightly to 55.61. When they broke it out by racial group, they found that among African American students in the first grade it was 44.08. By the third grade it had gone to 43.66. So it's just very flat. You see a bump up, but it goes back down. In Hispanic students, it was 39.87, and it dropped to 36.77. And so I think that's something is really important to realize, that if you're assuming that this is going to be a good investment, is it going to have long-term returns? And I don't think the evidence suggests that. And then finally, they looked at it from the standpoint of free or reduced lunch. And they found that students who had no free or reduced lunch were at 59.29 in the first grade, but by third grade had dropped to 58.3, and free or reduced lunch was 51.93, and it dropped to 50.84. So it was flat. And so I guess I just want to present that evidence, because I think we're hearing a lot of evidence about all the positive benefits. But I think national studies, and even if you look closer at the data here in Minnesota, I think it should raise questions whether this is the best investment for tight financial dollars. So thank you, Mr.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pritchard. Anyone else for or against? All right. And if we've got about, we have one more bill, so very good.
Mary Scott, Parents United for Public Schools. We're very supportive of these bills. 54% of our kids and families have opted to be in these schools, finding them very beneficial. We'd like the other 46% to have this opportunity. We've also understood that in schools that have done this for a period of time, they've actually changed out their first, second, and third grade curriculum so that the kids who are coming in actually do better. So that's one of the things that this is pushing. All-day kindergarten pushes the idea to change out the curriculum further on. So that's a good thing. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Anyone else for or against? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members. I'm Roger Arnson. I represent the Elementary and Secondary Principals Association. And I know you're cruising through this agenda here, but this is one of the signature issues on the legislative agendas of both principal
please
associations.
Please proceed. Please, we got about 30 seconds.
That's it. I just want to tell you that we absolutely support this 100%. If you want to make them all smile and cheer, you say all day K. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks so much. Anyone else for or against? All right, Representative Ward and Representative Bernardi, any closing comments on your bills before we lay them over?
Well, Mr. Chair, I just want to thank you for this generous opportunity to have this amount of time to spend on this important bill, and thank members for their attentiveness, and hope that we can move forward in helping our youngest learners be prepared for school and expand all day K to the opportunity for all Minnesota youngsters.
Thank you, Representative Ward.
I also just want to thank you. In the interest of brevity, I will only say further that I brought treats because this is the first time that I've been before this committee.
All right. Well, thank you, Representative Ward, Representative Bernardi, and thanks to the testifiers for the exciting news that you have on your programs for All Day K, and thanks for sharing that. So we'll lay over House File 105 and House File 821 for possible inclusion. Thank you. We will now, Representative McNamer. House File 113. Would someone care to, Representative Morgan, would you care to move House File 113?
I would love to, Mr. Chair.
All right, we have House File 113. And where's the... And we have an author's amendment. Representative Morgan, would you care to also move the H0113A1 amendment to get the bill in its proper order?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
We have a move on the A1 amendment. Any discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Representative McNamer, please present your bill as amended. Thank you and welcome.
Thank you, Chairman Marquardt, committee members. I'd like to make my author's amendment to this bill so it will conform to the Senate version. If it's permissible with the chairman and the committee, I'd like to introduce my bill and give the amendments at the end to help clarify and define my bill.
Yeah. Yeah, just we have it all amended, so just Representative McNamer, you're ready to go.
Okay, again, I am Representative Jay McNamer from District 12A. I'm here today to present a bill that would help finalize the consolidations of the school districts of Cyrus and Morris. The bill will be to allow the Cyrus District to issue general obligation bonds without an election for the purpose of the demolition of the Cyrus building. The bonds must be paid back in 10 years. The bonded debt issued will be payable by the taxable property located within the boundaries of the former Independent School District 611, which is Cyrus. My amendments to help clarify and define my bill are this. One, Cyrus may issue the bonds after a public meeting of the school board with notice given by mail according to Minnesota Statute Section 123B.09 Subdivision 11. Secondly, the bonded amount will not exceed $1 million for the cost associated with demolishing of the Cyrus building. And thirdly, any excess bond proceeds after bonds are repaid must be credited back to the taxpayers of the former Cyrus District. And I do have Superintendent Scott Munson from Morris who'd like to talk to our
bill. Superintendent Munson, welcome.
Thank you very much. My name is Scott Munson. I am the superintendent at Morris. I've been in that capacity since 2004, and I greatly appreciate the opportunity to address you briefly this morning. Superintendent Noel from Cyrus is not able to be here with us today, but he and I definitely share the thoughts that I'm going to share with you. This consolidation process actually began in November of 2011 when multiple districts, including Morris and Cyrus, began having discussions about options for the Cyrus School District. As it sits right now, there are two remaining districts that are still a part of that conversation, Morris and Cyrus. Everyone else, for various reasons, has chosen not to be a part of the consolidation discussions. We are excited about the opportunity to consolidate. We are located, our districts are located 7 miles apart. We share a variety of different things already. We collaborate on staff development. Our district provides transportation services for Cyrus, and we also have a tuition agreement for their high school students. We think that this consolidation is going to allow us to continue to provide a really excellent opportunity for students from both of our districts. However, we're here today, I am here today, to ask for legislative authorization to help us address the Cyrus school building should it not sell. There is an interested or potential buyer. They obviously have not pulled the trigger on that yet, and we still hope that that building is able to be utilized for something else, but it is not feasible for us to use it for education in the future. Consequently, We would like to, in the near future, start making plans to potentially demolish the building, and this house file would allow us to sell bonds to pay for the costs of the demolition and then to have those bonds repaid over the next 10 years by Cyrus residents. This is something that both of our school boards have agreed to. They will have one more opportunity in the future, should this move forward, to again affirm that decision and move forward with the final consolidation after the consolidation plat is considered and hopefully approved by the Commissioner of Education. Like I said earlier, we're excited about the opportunity. It's been a long process, multiple meetings. I took the opportunity to kind of put together a timeline of what has happened in our district and all the meetings and all the things that our school board has done to bring us to this point, and it fills up a full page. So we feel like it's been a worthwhile process, and hopefully we can move forward with this House File 130.
Superintendent Munson, thank you. Before we take any questions, is there anyone from the audience that would like to testify for or against House File 113? Seeing none, do we have any questions from members? Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Superintendent, for coming. And this is a really good idea to bring these two districts together, because I know what Cyrus has experienced in the past. But here's my question. Do your citizens understand what's going on? I mean, board makes decisions, but do they know the obligations they will have now? And then in the end, you know, what they may be responsible for paying by way of their taxes.
Superintendent Munson.
That's an excellent question, and that's been a focus of ours throughout the process. We've intentionally, Cyrus does not have a newspaper, Morris does. Our editor has been very willing to work with me, and she actually produced a series of three newspaper articles earlier, I think it was in December, that talked about what consolidation means for everyone. So we've been intentional with our efforts. Obviously, there have been a series of public school board meetings. The Cyrus District has held a public meeting, but we understand that until things gain some traction, like consolidation, and people don't really know if it's going to happen or not, we understand that the interest that they have might not be where it needs to be. So it is our intent to do two things. One, to have public meetings, and two, to do a public mailing to everyone in both of our districts that will hopefully answer some of the questions that you've brought up, including the tax impact for this consolidation process. We want to be transparent. We feel that's important.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's excellent.
Thank you. Representative Quam.
Thank you. Looking at the fiscal note, it's not quite obvious to me if this was bonded for those 10 years, how much of an increase in the school portion of the property tax as a percent would Cyrus residents see?
Superintendent Munson.
I do have our financial advisor from Northland Securities, Mike Hoheisel, here, and he can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the average property value in the Cyrus School District is $66,000. The impact of this bill would be a little less than $90 a year for approximately 10 years.
Representative Quam.
Mr. Chair, so you presently have no school property tax on these residents, so that this would be, there wouldn't be any, you couldn't calculate a increase because you don't have an existing. So I'm trying to figure out, is it a 10%, 50, 200% increase in what they're currently paying in property taxes towards the school district?
Mr. Chair, if I could ask
Superintendent Munson,
Mike Hoheisel, for assistance on that, if that would be all right.
Very good.
And the committee?
You bet. If you introduce yourself and for the committee.
Mr. Chair, members of the Education Committee, my name is Mike Hoheisel. I work for a firm called Northland Securities, and I assist districts in the public arena of finance. With that, Representative, as Superintendent Munson pointed out, for the just about $90 impact, what we're looking at is we're looking at Cyrus School District had a very minimal levy the last couple of years. They had $66,000 on the property taxes 2 years ago. They currently have 117,000. This impact would bring them up to 250,000. So the impact of that is 88. So if you took half that, they'd be paying about that $66,000 home in a big picture would be about $45 to $50.
Representative Quamp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Part of the reason asking for future reference, if we do see this, but whenever you have a district in SOD, frequently you do not have a great property tax levy capability, and so that's why I was trying to ballpark it.
Nope. Thank you very much. All right. Representative McNamer, any closing comments?
We didn't bring treats. But if the billing sells, refreshments will be at Superintendent Munson's house.
Representative Morgan, would you like to change your motion to send this bill somewhere else or do something else with this bill without the treats this morning? All right, well, we will lay over House File 113 for possible inclusion into the omnibus report. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank Superintendent.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you, Representative. And with that, wish everyone an excellent weekend, and we are adjourned.